Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for returning back with us after a week off for The Other Identity. Of course, I am your usual host, Robbie Landis, the Great Landis, along with me, as always, Professor Awesome, a.k.a. Ben Morris.
Your unusual host.
I think we're both a little unusual.
More than a little.
So, how was your week off, Ben?
It was good, man. I missed you, of course. There was a Robbie-shaped hole in my heart struggled to fill. But, yeah, it was good to kind of collect ourselves over Labor Day and get things back together. Hopefully people weren't confused when they did not get a new other identity this Monday. Hopefully they went back into our ever-growing and now extensive archives to entertain themselves. But we're back and we're ready to start entertaining you guys all over again.
We're over 30 episodes now, so how about
crazy.
That? Yeah, third of the way to 100.
And now, that's very ambitious. But you know what? You're right. We're not far from 100, and I'm proud of the fact that up until last week, we hadn't missed a week, so good for us.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. I had a really great weekend off, too. It wasn't so much a weekend off, because I still had other stuff to do, but I still enjoyed it. I think the only thing that I'm a little sad to report is I have definitely been slacking on my comic reading since finishing the first leg of
Rebirth.
DC Rebirth. I actually haven't picked up a comic since then, but I have recently started rewatching and actually just finished season one of Daredevil.
I saw that.
Man, I mean, everyone knows it's good. Everyone knows it's a good show, right?
But it's not a hidden gem at this point.
Yeah, but when you go back and rewatch it, like even after seeing it, I'm sure I've watched it three or four times now. Man, it's really good.
One of my fondest, like, late memories of working at Marvel was getting to go down to Dumbo in New York, and that was where they were filming Daredevil at the time. Mm-hmm. And I got to go on set for a little bit. I watched kind of like one of the last scenes of the first season, and this is before I had seen anything, but the one where the three of them, Matt, Foggy, and Karen, are outside the office and kind of just commiserating on everything that's happened.
When they're putting the plaque up,
I got to see that scene, which was very, very cool, and then I got to go inside the set. It's kind of cool because the set where they filmed all of the Netflix shows, at least at the time, was all in one place, so you could go from room to room, and you'd be like, in Daredevil, you'd be in Jessica Jones, you'd be in Luke Cage, and that was very neat. But I got to meet Charlie Cox, who played Daredevil, interview him, spoke to the folks who played Foggy and Karen. So I have only seen the first season and a little bit of the second season of Daredevil. I need to go back and finish that. It's on my list, but I have fond memories of season one. It was a very well done show.
I tweeted out over the weekend how if there were a list, which I'm going to write at some point, of like actors that changed the way that I look at certain characters, like there's like a top five list. That Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin would easily be on
absolutely.
The top five list. And he actually responded to my tweet.
Shut up. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's right. Yeah.
So, what an incredible performance.
Yeah, definitely. So what have you been reading? I know that obviously you never stop, despite
I
now being stopped. Back
never
to school.
Stopped. Yeah, but you know what? That's actually keeping me sane. It's just like I feel like if I can read five comics a day, and obviously I share my thoughts on Twitter as well as on Instagram at Ben Reads Comics. I feel like if I can get five comics in a day, I feel like very accomplished. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is, but there's something psychologically where I'm just like that.
So is that like the minimum that you aim for is five?
Yeah. Okay. Five is what I try to go. This is super insane, but I try to do five that I know I'm going to tweet and Instagram about. Mm-hmm. And then my reward, if I make it through that, is I read something like before I go to bed that's just for me.
Gotcha.
That I'm not sharing with anyone. I know. It's weird. I've accepted it. But I wrapped up Invasion, I think last week.
Mm-hmm.
The less said, the better. Man, that did not hold up very well. It was very. But you know what I'm discovering, Robbie, and I want to take the time to say this is that it's not like not all comics of a certain era are bad. I don't want to use that blanket statement because much like you remember, I didn't really enjoy Maximum Carnage, but I loved Age of Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
So I think like 90s X-Men comics age better than Spider-Man comics. In the same sense, right after I got done with Invasion, which was an 80s DC comic, I reread for the first time in ages Batman Year One by Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli.
Yeah.
And that's it's incredible. And, like, it's from around the same time period as Invasion, but it's, like, night and day as far as Invasion was so bland to me, and Batman Year One, just every panel was beautiful and just, like, counted. Well, so I just want to make sure we're not saying, like, all old comics are bad, only new comics are
and
good.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
I think reading through Rebirth has really shown me that as well, because I think that prior to doing that, I might have made the distinction that, at least for me, because obviously different people have different tastes, that for me, what I consider good and what I don't like may have, you may have at least saw some similarities between certain things being lumped in different time frames. But reading through DC Rebirth, there are definitely a lot of stuff in there that to me is like transcendent, mm-hmm. and then a lot of stuff that's like, I really did not ever need to read that.
Right.
And the stark differences between them, despite them all coming out in the same year, essentially.
There's good and bad from every era, and I think it's our tendency to just look at something that's old and just think, like, you know, it can't have aged well. Yeah. But I think there are certain comics. I'm discovering a lot of X-Men comics. I feel like X-Men is, for some reason, like, timeless. If you hit those themes of, you know, just dealing with the big ideas of mm-hmm. X-Men. Like, I'm reading an 80s story called Fall of the Mutants right now.
Yep.
And it's not all good, believe me. There's some crap. But, like, I don't know, X-Men, just there's something about X-Men that just stands the test of time. Whereas I feel like Spider-Man from the 90s was just mm-hmm. The less said, the better. And yeah.
Well, speaking of standing the test of time, enough with the pleasantries now. We're actually going to jump into, you know, what we really wanted to talk about and what we would have talked about last week had we not taken the week off. But, of course, that is the passing of Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, King T'Challa. We're going to talk a little bit about that ourselves, you know, sort of, you know, what he meant to the MCU. And then we're going to be joined by our very own Norris Howard from Checkpoint XP to talk about what he meant to the world at large. That's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Students are playing more video games than ever, and that's not a bad thing anymore. With Checkpoint XP on campus, you can peek into the world of college esports and gaming. We talk to personalities in the space like Phasix, who retired from the Overwatch League to join a college team, or thought leaders like James O'Hagan of the Academy of Esports, who's leading the charge on blending education and video games. It's not all black holes and floss dances. Games can lead to college scholarships, and we can tell you where on Checkpoint XP on campus.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening to The Other Identity. Today's episode is going to be a little bit solemn here as we remember and honor King T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman, who sadly a few weeks ago passed due to colon cancer, which to everyone's surprise, I mean, when that popped up, Katie actually came in and was like, you know, did you hear what happened? I mean, whew, talk about a headline that takes the wind out of you.
Right.
He was diagnosed back in 2016, apparently. Nobody knew except for his immediate family. Even Marvel didn't know. I mean, the man filmed like, what, 6-7 films in 4 years?
Something like that. I mean, there was a statement released by Ryan Coogler, who directed Black Panther, and they were incredibly close, obviously. And he mm-hmm. had no idea, which I think is the craziest thing about this whole situation for all of us, is a lot of times, you know, when someone is... when someone's sick for a long time, you almost have time to prepare for the inevitable. And then if you lose someone in a tragedy, like an accident or something like that, we know how to cope with that as well. The thing for Chadwick Boseman was, you know, he kept this to himself, as is his right. And uh-huh. he wanted people to focus on the good work he was doing. And as a result, I think a lot of people have had trouble figuring out, how do we grieve this? Because he didn't get taken suddenly in a car accident. He's been sick for many years. We just didn't know it. So it's a lot of processing for people. It's a lot of processing, not only that he's gone, but oh my God, like for me personally, the thing that washed over me, and this, it was a tough night, the night we found out that he was gone. But the thing that washed over me was just like, oh my God, he did all of this while he was sick.
Yeah.
Like, he gave us all of these incredible gifts, these performances, these characters, these worlds. Like, this was all while he was going to chemotherapy, while he was, and I read stories, the things that stuck with me most were the idea that he was visiting sick kids in the hospital and, you know, bringing some light to their world and kind of brightening their spirits without ever letting it known that, hey, I'm sick as well. Like, I'm going through this. And that's just, it's such a testament. I don't think you can understate the kind of, not just actor, we'll talk about how good an actor he is, but just the kind of man he clearly was. It's incredible.
Well, and I think that's contributes to the difficulty of processing this, is it changes all of the, you know, preconceptions that we had going up to this point. You know, for me, the thing that hits the hardest now is whenever someone finds, you know, a piece of an interview or something that he said, that now knowing what he was going through,
it changes
the entire context of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, having to, you know, going back and forth between Marvel movies when he'd have to get like super, you know, buff and put on all that weight and
all
that
muscle.
Yeah,
I saw that quote too.
You know, there was another one where someone was asking him during the filming of Black Panther. You know, he was writing back and forth with a few kids who weren't going to live to see the movie's completion. And, you know, he breaks down. And obviously, you know, just that on its own is absolutely heartbreaking to see. But then to know what he was also struggling with and also fighting with himself.
Right.
I'm never going to look at any of his movies the same way again. You know, and I mean, they were already such amazing pieces. And now, like, I don't know. It's so difficult even to put into words. You know, you had mentioned, you know, when you know that someone, you know, has been diagnosed and obviously,
sure, when you know we're going to have limited time, you can prepare.
Right, and there is still no preparing. You know, my dad died from lung cancer, and you know, even, you know, when he finally passed, we were told that we still had another 6 months.
Right.
You know, beforehand. So it's just all around. It's just such a man. 2020
there's a lot of,
just keeps on taking.
2020, man. But there's a lot of impressive things about Chadwick Boseman, and particularly his performance as Black Panther. But the thing I wanted to kind of harp on, I was thinking about, you know, the Mount Rushmore of Marvel Cinematic Universe performances. And I think he's definitely there. Mm-hmm. But what was most impressive to me is I remember that after Robert Downey Jr. made his appearance as Iron Man, and he was so perfect. He just inhabited that part so well. I was like, it's going to be really, really hard to cast Captain America because it has to be someone who can stand on equal footing to Robert Downey Jr. And in Chris Evans, I think they were able to find that incredibly rare talent who was able to share a scene and feel like these guys were equal.
Yeah.
The thing is, for Black Panther, that's doubled. Like, those expectations get doubled because this needs to be a guy who you buy being in the same room, in the same conversation with both Cap and Iron Man and earning their respect immediately and having enough presence on screen that this character does not get lost, that this character holds his own. And when you look at literally from the minute Chadwick Boseman steps on screen in Civil War, all through his own movie, into Infinity War and Endgame, he owns that character and makes T'Challa every bit the imposing hero that Tony and Steve are, that Thor is, that anyone else. Like, he held his own with anybody. It's so important that he was able to make that character not just a supporting character who's in the background, but someone who is front and center.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's, I think, a lot of actors and a lot of characters in the MCU that it maybe took a few appearances or it took the right moment for people to really realize or really accept them for their character and who they were. But the moment he stepped on the screen, there was no doubt in my mind that this was our Black Panther. This Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa was just amazing. But, you know, you guys don't want to sit here and just, you know, hear what two white guys had to think about this. There's so much more to that story, to Chadwick's legacy. And joining us next to talk about that is going to be Norris Howard. So stick around. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, we have an unprecedented outbreak.
Thousands of us walking the earth.
We might die at any moment.
Because we're under attack.
In which case, we must act fast.
Doctors are trying their best.
Working long hours and...
always sacrificing.
Their health.
To protect you.
Well, I'd very much like to thank them.
Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Wait a minute.
What's the prognosis?
It's... still changing.
So we have a novel virus and no vaccine at this time.
What should we do?
We gotta get everybody else back into the houses. We gotta keep them there.
In other words,
this is our lockdown, right? What that means is
stay in your homes, make no attempt to reach loved ones,
and take a long nap.
You can count me out.
You can count me out too.
Some people are immune to good advice.
You know what I mean?
Those idiots.
I just need to make sure you fully understand.
Let's recap.
I'm begging you.
Stay inside.
Wash your hands.
And make sure you've
got 10 feet of personal space around you.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
I didn't hear you wash your hands.
So think on this, lads.
When you're home watching TV.
Think about the
medical stuff.
Working for you. So I'm asking you.
Stay home.
I'm in isolation.
To stop the virus.
All right, I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You stay classy, planet Earth.
Welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for listening to and downloading The Other Identity. If you haven't already, as always, make sure that you tell a friend and get them in on this as well. So we're obviously today talking about the tragic loss of Chadwick Boseman, King T'Challa, the Black Panther. And we can't have this conversation without bringing in the one, the only, Norris Howard. I feel like if we would have tried to have this episode without bringing him in, it probably would have been the last Other Identity.
Yeah.
So Norris, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we did talk already, you know, a little bit just about, you know, what Chadwick meant to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, to MCU, but you know what he was able to do, you know, he changed the world in short. And you know, we wanted to bring you in here to talk about just what that impact was and how profound that impact will continue to be, you know, going into the future.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to realize when you talk about somebody like Chadwick Boseman, you recognize the professionalism that he brought to the gig, right? This is just talking about him as an actor, as a professional. And now, you know, in his passing, unfortunately, because this always happens when somebody passes, you get all these great stories mm-hmm. about what they were doing behind the scenes and what they were doing to, you know, lift up their cohorts, their coworkers and their colleagues, and understanding that he rallied for stuff like to make sure that T'Challa had a African, you know, a non geographically located African accent, to make sure that Xhosa was the language that they used when they weren't speaking English. It's a South African dialect around the South African region of Africa that they were using. And it's one of those types of things that, you know, it added so much to the film and to the character that I think another actor would not have gone that far. Another actor that was not as, you know, well-trained, another actor that didn't understand the significance of the character would not have brought those touches that took T'Challa and Black Panther sort of to a different level as every other Marvel character, because there is a distinct reason why in Endgame the first one out of the portal is T'Challa. There's a reason for that. There's a distinct cinematic, thematic reason why they made it him, and it's because Marvel understood what that character represented, not just to Black people, but to the Marvel universe itself. And losing him is losing a major
a major hub that the universe was supposed to spin around.
You know, coming from an acting background myself, Norris, you're absolutely right about how, and not even just in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but in all the movies that he's in, reading all these stories. You know, every actor, the character that they take, they leave their mark on that character. But it's very rare, I think, as you had pointed out, that an actor is able to leave their mark on the film, on the project, and all of those involved in the way that Chadwick obviously has.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, to me, just as a black man, it was incredible for me to see somebody so regal, so put together, and have it not be pantomime, right? Because there's been other films, you know, where everything is so over the top when you're talking about like African royalty, or you're talking about like people still living in huts and grass skirts and stuff like that. It is the first truly logical, in my opinion, logical depiction of what a fantastical sort of fictional African, you know, royal court or royal family might seem like, behave like, and act like. I mean, T'Challa is such a great character because, in essence, yes, he is a superhero, but he will be the first person to say that he is a king before he is a superhero. And I think the way that he was portrayed in the film was accurate to that. And I think that meant a lot to me, because while there are other black actors and black characters within the MCU, none of them have the presence and gravitas that Chadwick had when he appeared on screen as T'Challa. So it is a flabbergasting loss, not just as a fan, but it's a massive loss as somebody who appreciated seeing the character as a representation of something larger than that.
Speaking of what both of you guys are talking about, both in terms of Norris saying how much work he did on the film and Robbie, you saying the impact he left, I think one of the stories that has come out, I read Ryan Coogler's remembrance of him, and he talked about the fact that not every lead actor wants to be in the room for every audition, but basically Chadwick wanted to be because he understood not only the importance of him nailing the part of T'Challa, but creating this bigger portrait of Wakanda, which I think it's insane to me still, just as a comics fan, that in the year we're in, everyone knows what Wakanda is, right? Like, that's not, you don't have to explain it. It's part of the culture now, which is incredible. And I think that's because of what you were saying, Norris, about, you know, portraying not only African royalty, but this, the Wakanda that Chadwick helped to build, I think is every bit as important as the character he helped to build.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, within, you know, especially the hip-hop community and the black community, we got this thing, you know, this phrase, black excellence, right? Where we see, you know, somebody who's done well, we see somebody at the top of their game, whether it be athletic, academic, whatever, you know, it's just like, wow, black excellence. And I was worried that what would happen is that with this film, it essentially would become a footnote to the MCU, that it would be the Doctor Strange effect, where essentially it's a good film, visually stunning, really cool, but ultimately forgettable, and something that people just kind of went because it was their duty as MCU fans. Like, oh, okay, as MCU fans, right. We're gonna go see it because we want to see them all. And instead, what Ryan Coogler and Chadwick and the rest of the cast were able to do was they were able to encapsulate black excellence into like a 2.5 hour film and throw it onto the big screen. And I mean, even just some of the choices that Coogler made with the music and some of the stuff that they were able to do visually, which I cracked up about is in one of the interviews Coogler did with Vanity Fair, is he was saying anytime T'Challa Okoye and the other lead female lead, I can't remember her name right now,
the sister, but Shuri, or the other,
not Shuri, the love interest.
Oh yeah.
Anytime the three of them were in the same scene, They always wore red, black, green, mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. And those are the flags of Pan-Africanism. And so that's the colors of the flag, of the Pan-African flag. And so it's just one of those subtle things that, you know, Chadwick and Ryan Coogler worked on together that helped even subconsciously solidify the fact that, yes, this is a Marvel movie, but this is inherently a black action movie with black characters about black issues with a black conflict that somehow the whole world got and understood. And I think without Chadwick, that does not happen.
Yeah, I personally feel like the term legacy doesn't even seem like it's enough to really talk about what this movie has accomplished, because I know exactly what you mean when you know, compare it to, like, you know, I hope it's not a Doctor Strange, where people remember Doctor Strange, but, you know, Ben still put it at number 22 on the overall ranking.
I was going to say, I took Norris's statement as a win for me on the rankings, appreciated.
It was, but, you know, Wakanda is it's not just a footnote. It's not just a fictional place to some people. Like, you know, to me, when you look at the fictional places within comics, Metropolis, Gotham City, you know, Marvel's New York, Wakanda is easily within the top fives. I mean, you know, they're how many times has you know, Wakanda been talked about on CNN, you know, whether a joke or not, you know, as though it was a real place? I mean, this it almost even just transcends just your normal pop culture, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely does, because the film transcended, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even just understanding, and Ben, to your point about the auditions, even just understanding the dynamic between Killmonger and T'Challa, I think that conflict in what they were able to build with those two characters together, I think that conflict, what really resonates, is lost on people of other cultures, which is crazy, because I have had to, for my whole life, and many African Americans, most of us, have had to latch on to the stories of other people and other cultures in order to create some sort of better, deeper understanding of ourselves. Or there has to be some sort of parallel, you know, where in the way that X-Men fundamentally starts out as a treatise on the civil rights movement and the two sort of angles of that, and why also I think why X-Men is popular in the black community. But I think to have the argument of the descendants of slaves and motherland Africa and the conflict and the duality that is represented between those two people, and to have that plaster on in a mainstream Disney funded, is it don't get no bigger kind of film, I think was insanity. And again, it does not happen, and it is not effective if it is not handled with care and with confidence and with talent. As with, you know, Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan, because, I mean, the line, the Killmonger's last line about, you know, we'd rather, you know, throw me in the ocean with my ancestors that I'd rather, you know, die than live their lives in bondage. Chadwick Boseman said, add that line in. That was his idea. And it becomes, in my opinion, the single most powerful line in the entire film, because that encapsulates a whole feeling an undercurrent within the African American community. And without that intrinsic knowledge, one of the most important points of the film doesn't happen. And so you got to give it up to somebody like Chadwick, and you got to give him, you know, his just desserts and his flowers. Unfortunately, we couldn't give them to him while he was around.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone could have put it any better, Norris. Unfortunately, I think that is going to wrap it up here for today. Norris, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. You know, again, the loss of Chadwick Boseman is something that, you know, I think we're going to feel now every time we go and we see a Marvel movie, you know, let alone whenever, you know, Wakanda's mentioned or, you know, whatever ends up happening with the franchise at large. Rest in power to Chadwick, and we send all of our you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family and all those who were close to him and knew him. That's going to be it for us today, guys. Make sure you catch us next week on the same other identity channel at the same other identity time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.